lift my voice. Cares are past. Home at last. Ever to rejoice. Oh, praise God. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this another day that you have made. And we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, God, have your way today. Thank you for meeting us here in the house of the Lord. Allowing us to come together one more time to experience your glory, Lord God. That we can pray and we can call upon your name. We can rejoice, God. We can praise and worship your holy name, for you are worthy. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. So, Father God, for these next few moments, just bless us collectively, Lord, as your dear children, God, as your servants, as your slaves, as your bond servants, God, as we come together in oneness of heart and oneness of mind to glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Just want to see your face. Well, that might wipe me out. Amen. Amen. Is that anyone's prayer today that you just want to see his face? You just want him to touch you. You just want to feel his presence. And you just want to commune with your Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God I can tell my Father anything and he won't tell nobody. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But he hears me and he answers me. Thank you, Lord. So we praise God today. God bless you all. It's just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And we give God all the glory and all the praise. We are standing because of his grace. We're here today. God has had mercy on us. He has delivered us from so many things. And there's most of them, a lot of them we know about. But God, I believe that God has delivered us from things we didn't even know that was about to happen. That could have been, see, because somewhere I read that the angel of the Lord encamp around about those who fear him. Thank you, by day and by night. Thank you for our God who never slumber nor sleep. Thank you, God. He's our shade, oh God. He's everything we need and so much more. So I just thank God, amen. I just thank God for the privilege of being able to call God my Father. Hasn't always been like this. But I thank God today. Amen. Amen. And you know what? It don't get old serving the Lord. That's right. And somebody heard those songs say serving the Lord will pay off after a while. But I believe it pays off right now. Big dividends right now. Thank you, God. Blessings untold. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we praise God today. I want to talk today just for a few moments on the subject of up and out. I'm going to have to qualify that in a minute, but you've heard of folks talking. You've seen people that are down and out. Is that right? Yes. You know, we headed to the shelter today, and somebody would say, those people are down and out. They don't have a home, don't have transportation. But even at that, they have those that we'll see tonight been blessed to be in that shelter and off the street. That's right. We've had the privilege of ministering in the homeless encampments. You know, and seeing people down and out. But here, Mike, you remember times we would take clothing out there in the park and cook hot dogs and Starbucks would donate coffee and we would have a picnic administering time with the homeless. They were down and out. But you know what? Some of those that were down and out had a relationship with Jesus. Yeah. They would get in the prayer line, in the circle, and start praying to their God. So, but there's people who are down and out. Some people would say they're down on their luck. You know, when you go through L.A. and other places, you'll see people under the freeway passes. Where were we at? I believe yesterday we were down there off of Manchester near Century in Los Angeles. In that big old divide in the streets, there was a homeless encampment. I mean, even had a trash can out there like what the city give you. These people were down and out. Okay? And so we pray and we do whatever the Lord allows to do to help people in that situation. But then you got folks that's in the middle and out. You have people who may have a home, may have a car to drive, may have a job, have a family, a man or a woman, have children. But sometimes you see folks still out. They're angry. They're frustrated. They're depressed. Don't know Jesus, they're out. Look, on the outside, it looks real good. But on the inside, something's missing. And we pray for those who have a problem with anger, right? Have a pray for those who have a problem with being abused or being an abuser. So they have stuff, but they're out because the question is, where is Jesus, right? And so when you're out, when my definition of being out is a life without Jesus, see? Then we see that there's some people that are up and out. Remember, I guess this was before some of y'all time, there was an actor, a comedian by the name of Freddie Prinze. The man was wealthy, millions of dollars, and killed himself. He was up, he was out. See, money and tangible things don't satisfy. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not advocating that everybody here all of a sudden get broke and get rid of whatever money you have. But it's one thing to have something, but it's another thing for stuff to have you. So just because someone is rich or wealthy or able to be comfortable in life and make it, but without Jesus, they're still out. See, is that right? And so today I just want to take you to a familiar passage to some, but I've learned not to just even say familiar passage anymore, because every time you read something, God show you something else.
Right.
You know, every word in God's word is true. Every period, every comma has a purpose in God's word, and it's a living word. So God wants us to glean from his word. So we're going to talk about a fellow today named Zacchaeus, who was up and he was out. Amen. We're in this time, as Sandy said earlier, you know, we look at Easter on the way, you know. Next Sunday is what? Palm Sunday. See, we're focusing on Jesus as he was trudging and making his way toward the cross. And why was he headed for the cross? For you and for me. To die for the sins of the world. If somebody in here today has been delivered, been liberated by Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Is that right? Amen. And so God, he don't change. He's always the same. He's still saving the day like he was on the other day. But we look at this first verse in chapter 19, and we'll try to open up some of this and just kind of look at what's going on here. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. We know that there's a history in Jericho. We know that Jericho was the place where Rahab was. I believe I heard somebody mention today, and she helped the spies to get away. God had sent them to spy out the land. And praise God, as the army of God came through, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And the Israelites were never to rebuild it again. But somebody built up Jericho. And it has a history behind it. Jericho is like almost ground level with the Dead Sea. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This is almost, I would say, in my study, maybe approximately about 2 weeks before Jesus find himself on the cross. But Jesus was on a mission. You remember, he went through Samaria. There was a woman at the well. And Jesus met her right where she was. He started talking to her about water. Next thing she knows, she's recognized he's the Messiah. And there was a deep need in that woman. She had been out, but when Jesus got through with her, she was in. And she said, I know that when the Messiah come, he's going to show us all things. Praise God. So Jesus here, he said, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. You know, this was about maybe 18 miles from Jerusalem, 13, 18 miles away, and you're talking about 3,000 some feet high above sea level was Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way there, and Jesus was trudging the land. See, he suffered. He got tired of things just like we are, but Jesus had a purpose in life. I believe we ought to have a purpose in life, and our purpose ought to be, first of all, to glorify God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so Zacchaeus, listen to this. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, or in modern day terminology, look here. Right. Check this out. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was, listen to this, a chief tax collector. chief, not just your average tax collector. And I'm not talking about the IRS of this day. And we're getting close to having to deal with them too, right? When is the deadline, the 14th or the 15th? And listen, he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. So he wasn't out in the sense of having stuff. And listen to this, verse 3, and he sought to see, he wanted to see who Jesus was. And this is where it gets comical. But could not because of the crowd, he was short of stature. He's a little bitty fella. Can you imagine if everybody here stood up right now and say, put Luke in the back of the room and say, Luke, what do you see up there? He couldn't see because all the people standing up. He'd have to get a different vantage point to kind of see what's going on. So here we see a couple of things. This man was a tax collector. In those days and time, Rome was the authority, the Greco-Roman Empire was in control. And these folks were exacting taxes from the Jews who were their subjects. But a tax collector, not only the chief tax collector, was to collect tribute, a tax from the people for Rome, and the Romans didn't pay them to do it, but guess how they made their money? They made the money by extortion, by telling the people, you owe Caesar more than what they really owed. And so for him to be the chief tax collector, he was rich. Look, these were like modern day mafia. Because I'm thinking like, okay, I wonder what would Zacchaeus do if the people didn't have no money to pay their taxes. I'm just wondering, I don't know, but he wanted to see Jesus. This is very important because something had to happen. Something had to be going on in his life, in his heart, in his mind, in his spirit for him to want to see Jesus. You know, and now I've read in scripture where no one comes to the Lord unless he draws them, right? No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So here is this rich guy with a reputation that's out. But he wants to see Jesus. Who put that down inside of him? He sought to see Jesus for who he was. That tells me that he's probably heard something about this man Jesus. Have anybody in here heard anything about Jesus? You know, what he can do, what he has done, what he's promised he's going to do. You know, there's some folks today that are out that need to see Jesus. There's some folks that are out who want to see Jesus. And that's why God has commissioned the people of God to be mouthpieces for him. That we can let somebody who's down and out, middle and out, up and out, to know that there's a God in heaven. Amen. Who's concerned about them. Thank you, God. And so it says that in verse 4, so he ran ahead. Now, mind you, he's a midget. Well, maybe a little bit more than a midget. I don't know what you call it, but a little bit taller than a midget. So we see here that he wants to see Jesus, but he's got a problem. He's too short to see Jesus around the crowd. Because everywhere Jesus went, the crowd was there. And so in verse 4 say, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Well, you know me, I had to go and kind of go on the internet and see what a sycamore tree looked like. And they big and round like this. Matter of fact, they say what they say. You can't believe everything that the internet say, but that tree is still there. It's a sycamore tree over 2,000 years old, still in Palestine. You know. But anyway, so the tree is real wide. And here's what got me So it's wide, but the first limb is like about here. And it's a big old tree. And in my little mind, I'm like, okay, he wanted to see Jesus so bad, he got up in that tree. He didn't have no ladder. But it's something about it. If you want to see Jesus bad enough, you'll find a way to see him. He said, when you seek for me, when you search for me with your whole heart, you will surely find me. Thank you, God. And so he ran ahead and climbed. There it is. Hello. Can you picture a midget getting up in that tree? Okay, because look, my mind just kind of plays tricks. Maybe you get a running start. You know what I mean? You run in, you try to get up there, grab hold, missed. But he wanted to see Jesus. He determined to see Jesus. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For Jesus was going to pass that way. He had some intel. He had some information that Jesus was going to come by way of the sycamore tree. And since he's so short, he got up in the tree. How he got up there, I don't know. But he got up there, see. Sometimes you got to push your way. Sometimes you got to put some forth, some effort to trust God, to believe God, to want to be close to him. Hallelujah. See, want to search him out, want to see his face. Jesus. So in verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, hello. Called him by his name. Do God know our name? Amen. Does God know your name? Let me ask you this. Does he know your heart? Does he know the way you've taken? See, does he know plans that he have for you, for each one of us? So he looked up, saw him, said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Okay, modern day vernacular again. Zacchaeus, get out that tree, man. Come on down here. See, I see you up there. Now, okay, here go my braid again. Now the little fella got to get out the tree. Right? Because now he's been commanded. So, you know the monkey bars, right? I wonder if he grabbed the branch and started, and then whoop, and then flew himself right in front of Jesus. You know, I don't know. I got a vivid imagination. I got that from Camille. Make haste and come down listen to this. For today, I must stay at your house. Hallelujah. For today, remember now, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Remember now that Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's about 2 weeks away. So Jesus said, the Lord said, make haste, come down, for today I must. Do that sound like an urgent thing to you? See, we don't know if we're going to live or die. We don't know if we'll see the sun go down. But the God we serve, he knows who we are, and he has plans for us. And so whatever the reason in our Lord and Savior's heart and mind was that he must stay at Zacchaeus' house today.
Story.
He had a need. He had a purpose to go to Zacchaeus' house. Come out of that tree, man. I got to go to your house. Thank you, Lord. So he made haste, whoop, 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 and came down. The man who is up and out, the man who is despised by his fellow Jews, he came down and received Jesus joyfully. Boy, thank God for the animation and the one doing it. I think my little granddaughter, one time said, in her part of the story, but Zacchaeus, you come on out of that tree. She's about 3 years old then, you know. But can you see this? You know, it's some important truths in here. It's some important things here. How does God get our attention? How did he get your attention? How did we come from out to in? Have we been through many toils and snares? Have we made some major mistakes? See? Have we recognized at one point that I'm raggedy? I'm lost. I'm tired. See, we hear people sometime with a deadly disease or sickness, and they've been sick for weeks and months, sometime years, and you hear a precious person say, I'm tired. Yeah. And a lot of times that means I'm ready to go home to be with Jesus. But why sometime, while we're still living, while the blood is just running warm in our vein and we're out, we're saying, I'm tired. Hallelujah. And God hears us when we say, I'm tired. He hears us when we say, I want to see Jesus. He hears it when we have a longing inside and saying, something is missing in my life. And it's time for a change. And hear Jesus saying, listen, I must come to your house today. I want to let somebody know today that he must come to your heart today. He's on a mission for you today. Thank you, God. He received him joyfully. Can you imagine? He then got out the tree. He's a rich midget, a rich short guy. Hated by his fellow citizens because they look on him with disdain. You're rich because you're taking money from us, taxes from us, giving it to Caesar, and you're taking money off the top. We don't like you. You know, a lot of time people can feel like nobody loves them. Nobody cares. I've messed up so bad, I don't even know which way to start. Like B.B. King said, nobody loved me but my mother, and she could be jiving too. Sometimes people can feel that way. See, but that's just right for God. I don't care where you are in your life. It's whatever your situation, it's just right for God. And we need to take a note from Zacchaeus and receive him joyfully. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So get this, verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained. This is talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about the religious folks. They all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Jones, why are you down there talking to them folks that's on drugs? You know, why are you down there on Broadway or on Holt in Pomona where women walking around butt naked? Why are you down there, man, woman down there preaching to them? Because you know they need help. You, those are sinners. Well, guess what? The ones who are saying this are sinners. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save, we'll see that in a minute, that which was lost. So here you got the pot calling the kettle black. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, here is this Jesus, and he's the one that's doing miracles, and he's giving sight to the blind. He's unstopped deaf ears. He's caused folks who were crippled to get up and walk. We heard so much about him, and we just love to be in his presence because that's why the little fella couldn't see, because all those people out here looking and waiting for Jesus. Then they say, but look, he's going to be with a sinner. And aren't we quick to judge folks? It's so easy to judge folks. You know, say, no, you need Jesus. Yeah, and you need to be delivered. And you, wait, where's the mirror? You know, where's the mirror? Let me whip that out. What do I need? Where am I? You know, them preachers ain't right. Well, that could be, but what about you? Them church folks is this or that. Okay, but what about you? You know, so he has gone to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Now, Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'll restore them four times as much. Okay, here's the question. What happened in the house? Right? What happened in the house? Because Jesus said, today I must abide in your house. He came down out of the tree and received Jesus joyfully. The folks outside is complaining because this Messiah, this one who claims to be the Christ, now that went in his house? It went in a sinner's house? Well, the scene changes because now Jesus is in the house. And the little short fella is in the house. The Bible don't tell us what happened in the house. But by the time Jesus got through with him, I think the second song you sang was, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Oh, my God. Here I am to say, you're my God. Because the man come out of the house a different way. He went into the house out. He come out of the house in. He go in the house a crook. He come out of the house repenting, trying to make amends. Why? Who was in the house? Jesus was in the house. It tells me that Jesus need to be in the house. And then I'm told that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, where the Lord abides within us. And something happened in the house because the man came out and he said, I'll give half of my riches to the poor. I wonder what the folks was outside saying then. Is that Zacchaeus? Okay, I didn't tell you this part. Okay, he's rich. He's ruthless, had been. Without reading all the stuff, we get a picture of who he is. Guess what his name means? Anybody ever checked out what his name means? His name means pure or innocent. Now he is. See, he came out a bouncing baby boy one day. And his mom or daddy may say, we're going to name him innocent. We're going to name him pure. How many times do people get away from what they were taught? How many times people turn their back on what mother or daddy or grandmother taught them or how they prayed over them, how they gave them admonition. Don't get with the wrong crowd. See, stay on State Street, Straight Street. You know, watch what you're doing. Stay away from drugs and alcohol. Stay away from the promiscuous woman. Keep your mind on you. And what happened? Sometimes then people forget everything that they learned in the house. They get to that age of accountability or whatever that may be. And now I'm going to do it my way. I imagine that's what happened to Zacchaeus. My name may be innocent, but I ain't going to act like it. My name may be pure, but I'm going to make me some money. Not only that, I'm going to move up through the ranks of tax collectors, and I'm going to be the chief tax collector. So many times people can get in their own mind who they are. And you know, a lot of times people can put Jesus on the back burner. I ain't got time right now. Or when I get my life together, I'm going to come to church. When I stop doing this or doing that, I'm going to come to the house of the Lord. The lie the devil used to tell me, well, you know, when I get a suit, I'm going to church. Now, what a suit got to do? And, you know, but that was a good excuse. Well, Mama, I can't go today. I ain't got nothing to wear. Not understanding, Jesus said, come as you are. See, somebody said, I came to Jesus just as I was. Weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, God. So, all right. So the man comes out. I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone, he knows something about the law. You can go to about three different places and see how you had to restore somebody that you took something from. Fourfold, four times. He said, and if I've taken anything by lying, false accusation, I'll restore them four times. Do you think it's been a change in his life? Something happened in the house. Something happened when Jesus comes in. Is there any witnesses in here today that when you came to Jesus, that stuff you didn't want to do no more? Amen. Stuff that was shameful? Yes. Stuff that was cruel? Jesus came in, something changed. I locked up my brakes in a 76 GMC van to keep from hitting a little rabbit or something that ran across the road. Because now I don't want to kill nothing no more. Now, listen, I done gone from a fella carrying a shotgun in his van to locking up the brakes. I don't want to hit, I think it's a little dog. Christ changes things on the inside. Hey, you know, and he changes more than we even ask him for. Can anybody identify? I knew some things that I needed to quit when I came to Christ. Okay, man, you've been drinking like a fish. Got to quit that. You know, it's anger, But there's some stuff God started doing that I didn't ask for. Because I got so mad one day, the old me would have been blah, 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 blah. And I could. I said, wait a minute. I'm not cursing anymore. This is great. It's something about being free in Christ. Because we grew up under all kind of old wise tales and superstitions. You know, if you break a mirror, 7 years of bad luck. Anybody ever heard that kind of stuff? You're walking with somebody down the street, don't split that light pole. You know, don't walk under the ladder. Oh, don't let a black cat walk past your trail. Listen, when Christ came in, woo-hoo-hoo, and filled me with the Holy Ghost, thank you, God. Saved my soul and made me whole. Here I'm an electrician working with the college district. I couldn't wait to see a ladder. I'm walking under. God, look, I'm bold in Christ now. I've been set free. Oh, here's a mirror in the house. This thing is smudged and it ain't no good. It need to go in the trash. Give me a hammer. Wham, wham, wham. I'm breaking up that mirror. Why? Because I've been set free. Thank you, Lord. It's the difference when Jesus comes in. You go from being out to being in. Thank you, God. And listen, anybody in here is stronger in the Lord today than you were when you first believed? Anybody have more faith today than you had when you first believed? See, when I came to know Jesus, Jennifer, I didn't know how good God was. I didn't know how gracious and kind and merciful he was. I just saw myself in a bad situation, and I need to give my life to him. But now I've learned that he loves me so much. Thank you, God. I've learned that he loves me more than I love myself. I've learned that he cares about those who I'm concerned about. I've learned and understand he hears and answers prayer. Something happened in that house. Can you see the little short fella going into the house joyfully with Jesus? Jesus coming to my house. I'm a crooked tax collector, but Jesus coming to my house. He come out of the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to give it all up. Money don't mean nothing no more. Fame don't mean nothing no more. Prestige means nothing. I got Jesus and that's enough. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'll restore them 4 times. And Jesus said to him, today, not tomorrow, today, right now, salvation has come to this house. Wait a minute. Remember, Jesus said, I must go to your house. Sister Jessie, Jesus' heart was bleeding for Zacchaeus. He knew what was in Zacchaeus. He knew that what everybody, he saw what the world didn't see. He saw brokenness. He saw hurt and pain and shame and guilt. But the man kept making money. But Jesus said, no, man, come on down. I got to go to your house today. I came for you because, see, in just a few days, I'm going to be hung up for you. I'm going to shed my blood for the sins of the world. And whoever believe on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. I can imagine a little short fella got a bigger step now. Woo, come on. You take this stuff. It don't mean nothing. If he had a wife, he may say, Mrs. Innocent. Go get the strong box. Go get the safe where all the money's at and start giving it to the poor. See, and that means Jesus be looking at her now and say, because she might be saying, what you say? Because when you come to Jesus, everybody not going to understand what God is doing in your life. Don't be trying to please other people. You just go to Jesus for yourself. Amen. You climb the sycamore tree for yourself. Because somebody will say, you ain't going to never be nothing. You ain't, you are beyond repair. The devil is a lie. God be glorified. Amen. Today is a new day. Thank you, Jesus. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, oh yeah, we read that. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Listen how faithful God is. Listen, think about the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Think about what God has said he's going to do in the hearts and the minds of his people. Today, salvation has come to this house because he, Zacchaeus, also is a son of Abraham. Now, you remember the Pharisee, I won't go through it, but Pharisee was like, hey, our father is Abraham. You know, we don't know who your father is. And what Jesus said, no, your father is the devil. See, before Abraham was, I am. See, and so he told them the son of, and he said, because he also is the son of Abraham. And here's the point to drive home. For the son of man, Jesus has come to seek. How it's so easy to blow across words sometimes. He came to seek. Sound to me like searching out. Looking for. Oh, pulling the rug back. Open up the closet. Moving the stuff out the way. Walking through millions of people. And seeing you and me. I must come to your house today. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that to me, that's a shout right there. He came to seek, and not only to seek you out, but to save you. Why do people today run from salvation? Why do people today, it hasn't changed since that day, but why is it someone can sit up and hear the word of God, can hear the songs of Zion go forth? Can see men, women, boys, and girls laying out before the Lord and worshiping and adoring him. What makes somebody today say, well, I'm not quite ready yet? And I don't think people consciously say, but I still want to be out. You may want to be in, but do you know how to get in? Only way you get in is through Jesus. What those songs say, let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Isn't that what Zacchaeus was really doing? I want to see Jesus. I will serve notice on someone today. He will give you more than you even ask for. He's able to do a more exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think of him. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Right? So now, here in this word, he's telling us, ask and it will be given to you. He's telling us now to seek. To seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you, for everyone who asks, is that true? Do we believe it? That everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a door is not opening for you or for me, am I knocking loud enough? Am I seeking him enough? Or I'm going to take the easy way out and just get mad at God. You know, all this didn't happen to me. Where were you, God? Anybody ever been there? What did Lazarus' sister say? If you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But see, God don't leave us in that frame of mind. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Man. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added. What are you seeking for today? You know, is there anything that we're seeking for that's greater than the one who we should be seeking? My God. So just a couple of quick points. I'm done. Now, point number one, don't overlook your need to see Jesus no matter your situation. I don't care what it is. Don't let nothing stop you. We need to get to a place where we can see Jesus. He's up and out. Then he had to get up to see Jesus. God will lift you up out of the muck and the mire. Point number two, when you decide that you want to see Jesus, nothing can stop you. Mm-mm. Nothing can stop you. Jesus is waiting for you. This is to the unsaved to a degree and to the saved in another degree. He's looking for the unsaved. He's seeking and searching for them. Then us who have given our life to Jesus, do we stop seeking? Do we stop knocking? No, we continue because now we can seek and knock and search more in confidence because we know who we're seeking. We know what he's already done. And if he's done it once, he'll do it again. The only thing I don't have to worry, thank God for doing again is saving me again because I'm saved. And the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Is anybody in the house today know you have eternal life? Can I take a quick poll? Okay, there's a few that know it. I don't know. If you don't know it, keep your hand down. But if you know that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ, you ought to give God praise. Hallelujah. Point number three, there is always someone or something that will try and keep you from seeing Jesus. We walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Lord God. I remember when Pastor Ralph would preach sometime, he was so sick and lost so much weight sometime in Central Carolina, you know he would sometime even have to hold his pants, but he's preaching God's word, letting people know how good God is. Thank you, Lord. Encouraging everybody from the pastor down and back up again because he knew his Redeemer lived. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. My last point is Jesus gives us a heart transplant when we come to him. I don't even like being angry no more. But I had to learn to fight against being angry because the anger was so entrenched in me. Even when I came to know Jesus, I had to learn and to trust him to continue to remove the anger. I may have told y'all the story one time. I'm going to sit down here. Oh, it's Communion Sunday too. Listen, the girls had got to a crazy age. Nobody know what I'm talking about if you never had if you never had teenage girls or boys. My nerves were shot, 16 and 17. Ready to drive, got things they want to do that I don't want them to do. And Sandy had bought me this night. Remember the little pocket cassette recorders, little small mini cassettes? She had bought me one of them for my preaching. So when I preach, I could hear, play it back. Oh, this is real cool. Aunt Alice from Illinois was visiting the house. She was a visiting the house for a few days. I forget exactly what went down. I wouldn't say it if I did. I'm angry. I'm yelling. Got my little recorder. Twitter broke it. Ain't Alice say, Elder Perry. I mean, real soft. Sister Patricia, I mean, real soft and sweet and anointed. She said, Elder Perry, you're going to give yourself a stroke. In what she said that night, impacted me for the rest of my life. You know what? I ain't through nothing since. And God began to reinforce me. Do you know who you are? Do you know who I've called you to be? And he began to purge me, Pastor Jones. He began to show me more and more of who he is and his glory. He's still working, saints. He's still moving. Thank you, Lord. I want to be more like Jesus. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, it's generic, any woman, any boy, any girl be in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So if we're sitting in the house today and we still have some old things, let it go. If we can trust God with our eternal destiny, if we can get to the point where we say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and I'll trust you the rest of my life. God, please write my name in the Lamb's book of life. And so you 6 foot tall man, 2 foot tall Zacchaeus, you give your life to God. And you mean to tell me now I can't trust him in things that are plaguing me, in things that are hurting me, things that are, that word of forgiveness is hard for me to get my head around, but I've trusted him with my life. I've trusted him with my soul. And he said, forgive and you'll be forgiven. Why am I struggling with that? He said, let it go. Yes. He's saying, trust me in this. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. All right, up and out. I'm done, but I'm out. God bless you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we bless God. It is Communion Sunday. You all come that's going to help serve today. But I would like to ask someone. I'd like to ask everybody. Do you have a need to see Jesus? If you're not saved, if you haven't made a total commitment to God, are you today willing to see Jesus? Do you want to hear Jesus say, today, I got to come live in you? Are you at that? Is anybody at that point today? And if you've been saved for a short time or for 50 years, do you still want to see Jesus? Do you still want to forget those things that are behind and reach forward to the things ahead? Do you stand longing for a touch from the Most High God? Do you ever want to go back to the place where you first believed? Do you ever want to feel that presence where you wept before God for the first time? Do you ever want to get back to that place where God spoke to you and told you to pray for somebody for the first time in your life? And you did, and you saw the evidence. Listen, I'm just saying, let's not get complacent in God. The same God who saved us is the same God who's dealing with us now. He's the same God who know our situations now. He know the hurt, he know the pain, he know the struggles. I would exhort the saints today, keep your mind on Jesus. Believe God for the impossible. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to